worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Well, good morning and welcome. Our Sunday school superintendent is out of town with business. And so I just want to remind you this morning about a few things. They're listed in your bulletin, and indeed you can pick up on them as you read through the opportunities to serve. But we do want to remind you that in your bulletin, on the back side of your visitor slip, is a piece of information that could become invaluable to you as you're putting together your calendars. We know we're fast approaching the holiday season. There's family gatherings, there's corporate gatherings, there's church functions, all kinds of things that are going on. And so we've put together, hopefully, a calendar that will help you as far as the church is concerned to know about special events and dates that are coming up. And so you can plug those into your calendar, and that will help us as we all go about our business through the holiday season. And then we remind you also that on the evening of the 31st, that'll be a Thursday evening, I believe. That is Halloween night. That's our trunk or treat night. It's our night to reach out to our community with the love of Jesus Christ and to give a safe place for children to come and receive some candy and items. And so you can bring your candy into the office if you want to do that, or if you're going to be here, plan to be here as close to 5:30 as possible and have your trunk decorated, or you can be in costume, and we'll just have a fun time together for a couple hours as we minister to our community in reaching out with Jesus Christ and his love. Then I want to also remind you that that next Sunday afternoon is our regular monthly dogs dinner, our opportunity to reach out to any visitors that we've had for the last month, an opportunity to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries with a potluck dinner. And also after that dinner gathering, we need to have a brief time of meeting for evaluation after our Faith, Family, and Fun Day, and indeed after our VBS as we move into thinking about preparation. It's never too early to prepare for the next one coming. And so we appreciate our leaders who are putting together some evaluation. And so Amber has gotten to some of you, I think, these slips if you worked Bible school. And so if you can get those filled out and back to her, that would be great. And then Cody will help us as we evaluate our Faith, Family, and Fun Day. But he has also shared with us that due to his changing schedule and things, that he will not be able to direct Faith, Family, and Fun Day next year. So we are currently looking for a director for Faith, Family, and Fun Day. We are currently looking for a leader. Tonight is small groups night, and we're looking for a leader for our group that meets at the Brandstein home, and they are continuing on, but we're looking for someone. If the Lord would lay that on your heart, or as they pray and share, we'll be securing a leader to head up there, facilitate their curriculum in their settings. And so we'll have four locations tonight, people meeting together in small groups, and then the fifth location here at the church. And so be a part of one of those gatherings if indeed you would. And we'll appreciate that so very much. I'm assuming, Sister Evelyn, that you have something that you need to address this congregation for.
We kind of missed with vacation and everything our pastor's birthday, so I am here this morning to wish him a delayed happy birthday and give him his card.
Well, thank you so much. Again, we do indeed feel your love and appreciation, and it's a great honor to serve such a congregation as yourselves.
Yes, we do.
Okay, I'm not used to this job. All right, so if you'll stand to your feet. We want to greet one another in the Lord this morning. Make each other welcome. Find someone you haven't greeted for a while, and prepare our hearts for worship.
Salvation be.
While everybody's finding their seat, I have an announcement that I should have had made earlier, and I've kind of forgot about it. But if you have kids that come to the church for small groups, that little kids, kindergarten and under, we are going to start at my house tonight first. So make sure they have a jacket. We have an outside activity at my house, and we will then come to the church. We'll walk across the field, and we'll be here for you to pick them up then when your small groups or church time gets over. If you have any questions, you can see me about it later. Couple of things I want to mention to you, several things actually. First of all, I have three new letters from our Compassionate Ministry kids that we sponsor. And I'm going to put them on the bulletin board. One of them has a new picture of by Poole, and he actually sent us two letters 2 days apart. I was really surprised about that. And then the other one is from Andrea, and hers is real easy to read. The translation is typed. Take time to read that. I'll put them out there on the bulletin board. By Poole's is a lot harder to read. Be sure and look at his writing, though. I don't know. I forget what country he's from. But they write on the top of the line down. And it's just really, really interesting to see that. But his translator's writing is also real hard to read. And so basically they continue to send their thanks for us sponsoring them and that they are doing well. But I'll put these out on the missionary bulletin board, and I think you'll find those interesting to look at. The second thing I want to mention, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but at the landing up there on after you go the first flight of the stairs to go upstairs, there's a gumball machine. And for a quarter, you can get a gumball. And that quarter is going to help support our missions program. And I think what the intention is right now, we're going to help use that to pay for our money to ship our Christmas boxes. So if you see that up there, you can make the trek up the stairs to that gumball machine and you need some gum, that's a good place to get it. The third thing I want to mention is our shoe boxes are out there in the foyer. Hopefully you've brought your stuff in. If you have a few items that you still intended to bring them tonight, Tuesday night. We're going to inventory those items and see how many boxes we can put together with the stuff that's been brought in. If you've got a full box, go ahead and bring that in, and we'll kind of see how we're doing on that. And we may need some more items brought in, and we'll let you know about that. If we do some individual items, there also will probably, Mary was working on this, was going to be a box out there in the foyer by our Christmas boxes that if you wanted to contribute money to help pay for the shipping of our boxes. And it was going to be one of the Christmas boxes and drop some money inside there. That will work too. You can see me, you can see Sue or Mary. You can tell us, you know, what that money's for, that we want it for shipping of the boxes, and we will work on that. Any amount of money that you, if it's a dollar, if it's a quarter, if it's the full $7, we would appreciate that. Also, for the last thing here, I want to share with you that I heard last week that you heard about this, but Jerry sent a box last year and to a little girl, and she didn't actually get to choose who it went to, but it went to a little girl in the Ukraine, and she got a letter from her child, and it says, "My name is Albina. I am 13 years old. My family is big. There are 7 people in my family, my parents, 2 sisters, 2 brothers, and me. My family is very grateful for your nice present. My church also gives you regards. May God bless you. We're waiting for your response. All the best." And then she has on here, "P.S. my address." And it is hugely long. It's about 5 lines, and they're really, really long. But she's from the Ukraine, and I thought that was really interesting that we had someone that gave a response, and I guess you could have filled out some information on the letter, the envelope thing, and put that in your box, and perhaps they may or may not respond to you. But if you want to look at that, I'm sure Jerry will be glad to share that with you. They got some pretty little stamps here, but I'm going to share that with our kids in the mission service here in a few minutes and let them see that too. And I think this year our plan is we're going to send all of our boxes together at the same time, and we're going to track them all together. I know several people that sent boxes individually last year tracked their own and kind of knew where they went. Well, this year we're hoping to track all however many boxes we send and have a map So eventually throughout the year, we'll see where our boxes went.
Thank you, Jennifer, for presenting that interesting comment on the things that are happening both here at home and overseas. We'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Look at this group of good-looking gentlemen coming down through here. Some of them are almost as old as me. And some of them I'm twice as old as. Going to ask kind of one in the middle to lead us in prayer this morning, if you'd come, Brother Troy, and lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, as our opening song said, open the eyes of my heart. We want to see you today. We thank you for the privilege of coming to your house to worship you, and we pray, Father, that your spirit would settle down upon us and upon our pastor as he brings a message. Bless this offering to the presence of your kingdom and our lives to your service, we pray in Christ's name.
your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder.
prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. There are a couple of items that we need to be in prayer for. One of the things is kind of an announcement that I forgot to make, but it is a matter of prayer, and that is that we have been given the information regarding our ability to make a presentation in the Christmas parade this year. And so we really need to know by next Sunday at the latest if we've got somebody who's going to take on that project. We have maybe some other options of ways to be involved in the parade. If not, but if we're going to do a float in order to have time to do it well, we need to do that with plenty of planning and advance notice. And so we've set a deadline from the board to next Sunday evening. And so if we haven't heard, then we will plan on not doing a Christmas float, but we'll try to figure another way to be visible in the Christmas parade. So if the Lord would lay that on your heart, well, I talked to Brother Troy, who's head of our vision committee, and we would appreciate that so very, very much. The other thing is, Cody, I'm going to ask you to come right quick and help me with something. I think most of you are aware that last weekend, from Friday through Sunday noon, our teens were out in there. They have two retreats, one in the fall and one in the spring. They're out in their fall retreat. And you can always, no matter what event we have, no matter what we're doing, be leading into revival or Faith, Family, and Fun Day, Vacation Bible School, we do what we do in order to reach people. And indeed, hopefully, be able to help people not only grow in Christ, but come to Christ. And so I'm going to ask our NYI president to light the candle for us this morning. And Kyle, I want you to stand there at the back. This is Kyle. For those of you who haven't met him, he was in our he's been coming to our youth group, and he was in our fall retreat. And on Saturday evening, he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so let's congratulate Kyle today. We are very glad, Kyle, to have you as part of our church family. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of us. We hope this will be home for you. And indeed, we're glad to share. And these people will be praying for you as you go on your journey, because the enemy surely will be after you. And so we want you to know that we're lifting you up. And we celebrate. The angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes to Jesus Christ. And so we indeed are excited also as these things happen. And then also there's just an ongoing list of items that are in your bulletin. Various surgeries and situations that people have had. And on our hearts and mind this morning, hopefully every day as we go into it, November 2nd through 6th is our fall revival. And so we'll be praying in regard to that. We're going to sing together. Let's stand. We're going to sing together. The altars are open to you this morning. If you have need of a place of prayer to lift up praise or to lay down a burden, why, you feel free to come and find a place of prayer this morning, and we'll join our voices together. Father, we're both privileged and honored to be in your house this morning. We're here because we want to be. We're thankful that there's a day set aside to honor you, a day set aside to break away from the things of the world and our secular concerns. We realize that in this culture that not everybody is able to have the same day, but we're reminded in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans to have a day. And so others sometimes have to honor you in a different way, that are in the service industries and various things that their employers require them to. But Father, we've gathered today because we are able to and because we want to. We're here on purpose. Because in our hearts and in our minds, we want to honor you. We want to lift you up. We want to be right with you. Lord, we want to be in your presence. We want to come to a place that enhances the opportunity to hear your voice, that gives us the opportunity to worship and to fellowship with people that are a part of our family of God, the corporate family. We come to experience that fellowship. We come to grow deeper in the Word. Lord, our prayer is that you would be with those who are absent from us today for whatever reason. Lord, we pray that you would create within them a desire to be a part of these kinds of gatherings. Pray for our small groups that will meet tonight, a different kind of gathering, but really all for the same reason. Getting to know each other better on a more personal level. Getting to know you better on a more personal level. Being in your presence, letting you speak to us. Lord, we just want to do whatever we can to help people come to Christ. To help people grow in Christ, to know Christ. And Lord, we indeed are thankful today. We celebrate all of these who have come just recently to receive Christ. Jocelyn and Lane and now Kyle and others that have made various decisions of various kinds. We thank you for a time and a place to contemplate, to be away from the noises of the world that would distract us. To be in a place where the enemy does not have control, does not have power. And Lord, we pray today that the enemy would be defeated. We pray that the angels would protect this campus and that your presence would be free to flow. And Lord, we have sensed you in these great songs of the church today. We've had an opportunity to respond with the giving of our resources as you have blessed us. We come now to that great opportunity of prayer to tell you that we love you, to say that we are undeserving but appreciative of everything that you've given to us, and we receive it gladly. Lord, the things that are heavy on our heart today, we lay down at these altars. We like having an altar. Like having a place. It's visible to us. It's not necessarily a have-to situation, but we like it. A place where we can nail things down. A place where we can mark, look back to. A place that we know is always open to be in your presence. And so, Father, we thank you for this time of prayer and these altars. We lay out our heart and lives before you today. We ask you in the remainder of this service, Father, to speak to us and just show us what we need to know. Tell us what we need to hear. Help us, Father, to open ourselves to you, to be a channel that your love might flow into the lives of others that need to know you. Let Nixa Church of the Nazarene be a lighthouse on a hill. Let this be a hospital for the wounded. Let it be a safe place for those who are afraid. Let it be your house. And let it be your way. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we offer this all up in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to give your attention first to Mark chapter 9. There's a simple statement in Mark chapter 9. In the King James, according to some manuscripts that were newer, it had some words added to it, but it simply says this in Mark chapter 9 and verse 29. He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Now we know that in this setting that Jesus was speaking to his followers, and it was in regard to the attempt to cast out a demon. And so I want to be cautious this morning that I am not stretching the context of this passage of Scripture. But demons represent the enemy. Demons represent all of the evil that's present in the world. Demons represent darkness and lostness and all those kinds of things. And so I want us to give specific focus to. I know we've kind of talked about it along the way, and we've had so many things going on in our lives. We've had announcements about it, and we've mentioned it in a prayer time and Bible study on Wednesday nights, and I think it's probably gotten some attention in some other places. We talked about it Wednesday night. I asked the choir to pray about it Wednesday night, and I want to bring it to your attention here on this Sunday morning because I think it's a key thing that we are about 2 weeks away from special revival services. Beginning on Saturday evening, November the 2nd, we will gather here at the church at 6 o'clock with a potluck dinner, and we will have the opportunity to meet and greet our revival workers. And I've asked Brother Mike, if he could, to have a picture. This is Reverend Larry and Tamala LaCrone. They have been traveling for many years as evangelists in the Church of the Nazarene. They're very talented musically, and he has a great reputation as a holiness preacher. And so some of our people got to hear them just for a little bit in a situation once. And I have received strong recommendations from several other evangelists that indeed these folks have been at it and committed to it for many years. They travel in a large RV bus, and they will park that here on our property and lodge here and be with us Saturday night, November 2nd, through Wednesday night. I believe November the 6th is what the actual dates are. Now, you know, we've been having revivals for years. We've been scheduling special speakers and all those kinds of things, and they're all different. They have their own personalities and their own ways of doing things. And I received a package, and you'll probably hear me read this again next week because several of our folks are not with us today. But I wanted to read it today. It is a letter from Reverend LaCrone to you. It came as part of the material that he sent me in pre-revival preparation. It says, "Dear Nixa Church family, we send greetings from the Road of Revival Land. With the fast pace of most people's lives today, we need to schedule a time to be still before God and listen to His nudges and checks. At times He says, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Other times He says, 'Stop and discern. My ways are which are higher than yours.' May I encourage you to make the services of revival a priority in your life. Strive to have everyone in your household participate. God's kids of all ages need a time of renewal. If you are a church board member, Sunday school teacher, or worship leader, you have a special influence and need to lead the way with enthusiasm. It won't be long and the meetings will be history. Plan now and they can be a great time of spiritual maturing and fellowship. We're looking forward to seeing you very soon. In His love, Larry LaCrone." And I thought that was a very nice piece that he put together, a very nice thought to share with the congregation. We have been in email communication several times and talked about the fact that he is preparing to come and be with us and share what the Lord lays on his heart for the congregation of Nixa Church of the Nazarene. And so we are looking forward to that time. And as we prepare our hearts, we know that that there are many things that can be accomplished and need to be accomplished in revival. We believe that first and foremost, revival is specifically about renewal and refreshment in the church. And so what we want to do before we think about anything else is think about every one of us making sure that we individually are where we ought to be spiritually. That's part of what revival is all about. If we've allowed ourselves to drift or get away, or we've got things that stand between us and the Lord, or even us and others, that revival is a time for us to come to grips with how the Bible tells us to relate to each other and to God, and that first and foremost, we put ourselves in a position to be able to worship and to hear from God. We also know that revival is a special time of fellowship. We will send out information, and not only will we notify our church, but we will notify other churches, as we always do, that we are having revival services. We know that their schedules are just as busy as ours. We know that their lives are just as busy as ours, that oftentimes they cannot make that a part of their time, but they might also be praying with us. Or indeed, some of those folks who have every year come along, they're folks from different places, that with the invitation extended, that they will come and fellowship with us. So we will have each other's fellowship, and we may very well have the fellowship of other people from other churches and things. But also, revival, I believe that if you get in the 51st chapter of the book of Psalms, and that's not where we are today, and it's not our text, but I'll touch it very quickly. When David was praying that prayer of renewal after his sin with Bathsheba, he talked about the fact that if God would indeed give him back his spirit and the joy of his spirit in his life, that he would teach transgressors his ways. In other words, that when he got his heart in line with God, that he wanted to go out and share with others what God was doing in his heart and life, and he would be an evangelist himself, that he would share the good news. And indeed, we have the opportunity to share with other people, co-workers, family members, other folks along the way. We have the opportunity to make them aware of the opportunities. We can't make them come, but we can indeed at least share with them the opportunities to come and be a part of revival services, to come and hear a fresh voice, someone different than the pastor, someone who has a different style of delivery, maybe a different school of thought on some items, different talents and skills, and indeed it will be a special time in the Lord for all of us. In some of the other material that Brother LaCrone sent to me, he made mention of the fact that he would like for at least three people to commit themselves to meeting with him Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening. I won't do it on Sunday morning just because of the earliness of the hour and those kind of things. But we will be together on Saturday evening. And part of the reason for gathering on Saturday evening is not only to have food and fellowship, but we are indeed going to meet our workers, and we will finish with a time of prayer to prepare our hearts and minds to receive what God has for us indeed on Sunday morning. It's an opportunity for us to start a revival with hopefully our largest group of people, and if indeed they enjoy what they hear and would like to have more, then they'll come and be a part of the remaining services. It's also an opportunity on Saturday night to keep from having to start cold turkey on Sunday morning. If you will come on Saturday night, I promise you, I absolutely promise you, if you will come on Saturday night and be a part of the fellowship and a part of the prayer, that you indeed will get more out of Sunday morning than you get if you just walk in cold turkey and don't have a clue about what's going on or who these people are. So come and make yourself available for God to speak to you through these people, because on Saturday night they'll go over a few things about their personal lives and get the introduction part out of the way, so when we come to church on Sunday morning we focus on what God has for us, and indeed we're going to be giving him the opportunity to speak to us. And so with all of that said, there has been this emphasis on prayer, and Reverend LaCrone has asked for at least three people who would gather with him 30 minutes prior to service time, which is 6:30. So 30 minutes prior would be 6 o'clock, okay? Three people who would be willing to meet with him at 6 o'clock. On Sunday night, it would be 5:30, because Sunday night service is at 6 o'clock. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are at 6:30. So on Sunday night, it would be at 5:30. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it would be at 6 o'clock. But at least three people, it can be more,
but at least three people who would commit to meeting with him every night. At that point in time, he will share with you what the Lord has laid on his heart for that specific revival service, and he will ask you to pray with him and for the service and those who are in it as we go through that service. You'll be allowed to come back in and sit on the service, but he will have you having your mind focused in prayer even as you're a part of these services. So you can be a great help, a great team to help with the success of revival as you pray for those things that God has laid on his heart. And so if you want to be a part of that, just let me know, and I will appreciate that greatly, that we help him with that team of people who would give him a prayerful support. And with that said, then I want to share with you this morning what's on my heart, what God's on my heart, is that revival does not come without preparation. And indeed, probably one of the main facets of preparing for revival is prayer. The scripture said, you know, that demon couldn't be cast out without prayer. Now, there are some newer manuscripts that are available, and the King James was taken from them, and it also adds the words "and by fasting," and I don't think that's a bad thing. Fasting is never a bad thing. It can be a very good thing. But fasting is not about doing something to give up something so you can get what you want. Fasting is about giving up something so you get your mind focused on what God wants for you. Fasting is not a tool to move the hand of God. Fasting is a tool to move your heart and mind to get it in the right place so that you're focused on God and what he wants instead of trying to get God focused on what you want. This kind can only come about by prayer. And so I just want to share this morning three simple thoughts with you, and then I'd like for us to end this service with a time of prayer. First of all, I think it's significant that we, in our lives as Christians, pray regularly. How many of you have ever been a part of a dating relationship? Okay, and as you fell in love with somebody, how many of you wanted to speak with that other person as much as you could? I mean, you did in all kinds of ways. You had phone calls and you had notes, and now you have technology to do email and texts and Twitter and Instagram and I don't know what all. Some of you would get in your car and drive and spend time at some place. But the point is that you took it upon yourself to build that relationship by getting together as regularly as possible. And people have different personalities. You know, and we could probably debate. There would be people who might be willing to debate when a person should pray. You know, should you pray in the morning or should you pray in the evening? Listen to what the scripture says to some of these issues. Let me share with you from the book of Psalms, chapter 5 and verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And then if you go over to Psalms 88, 13, it reads like this. But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. But then you can also go over to the 141st Psalms and second verse, and it says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. The issue is here, I don't think it matters whether it's morning or evening, because the truth of the matter is, we have some morning people here. And we have some not so morning people here. And so we want to prepare and discipline ourselves to a time with God when our mind is most receptive. You know, we got to know our own limitations. We got to know our own bodies. If you're the kind of person who can't wake up in the morning, that may not be the best time for you. If you're the kind of person who can't stay awake at night, that may not be the best time for you. The thing of it is, you find a time for you where you can meet with God on a regular basis at a time when you're open and receptive, and indeed create that to be your schedule of prayer so that you can pray regularly. We see this exemplified by one of the greatest men in the Bible. Well, you know, we love the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And indeed, right before he got thrown in the lion's den, and the very reason he got thrown in the lion's den was because of some jealous guys who knew they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They tried. They did a background check on him. The highway patrol said, the guy's clean. We can't find a thing on him. No tickets or anything. And he's just a good guy. And so these guys said, we got to find something else. Oh, we know what it is. He prays all the time. So we're going to go to the king and we're going to play upon his ego and we're going to say, okay, make a law, king, that says anybody who prays anybody but you is going to be in trouble. And we can look in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel after they had told the king, hey, Daniel's praying and he shouldn't be doing that. It's against the law. And in Daniel 6:10, it says this, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel had a regular pattern of prayer. Morning, noon, and night. Three times a day he went to the Lord. Now I'm not saying that you have to go to the Lord three times a day. But what I am saying is I think it would be good for every one of us to have a regular scheduled prayer. They tell us we're creatures of habit. Do you have a habit of prayer? Or do you pray haphazardly? Do you only pray when you're in trouble? Do you only pray over a meal and if you're not in public? Or do you have a regular time where you commune with God because you love Him and you like those times to get away from everything else and get away from the noise of the world and you can talk to Him and He can talk to you? Scripture can be a part of prayer. God's written some things for all of us. And indeed, that can put our mind. Music can be a part of prayer. Music sometimes helps set the atmosphere for us. Sometimes it doesn't have to be any words to it. It can just be music of hymns that we're familiar with because then we're those thoughts come to us. There's a lot of things we can use to help us to create a time and an atmosphere of prayer. All I'm saying to you this morning is that whatever time is best for you, I believe it will enhance our relationship with God. I believe it will further our connection with God to do it on a regular basis. If that person that you were dating didn't see you on a regular basis, how long do you think that dating relationship would have lasted? Even people who have long-distance relationships communicate regularly. Pray regularly. I believe that prayer is a key to revival. If you've been irregular in your prayer life, let me challenge you to just make a fresh commitment to God. I'm not here to make anybody feel bad or guilt. It's not the deal. I'm just saying, I think this is a thing that will be helpful to us in our Christian walk. So today would be a good day to say, Lord, what's the best time for me? And for as we go into revival these next 2 weeks, let these next 2 weeks be a time to establish that habit of regular prayer. That's just going to be an improvement in your life. We're not here to beat anybody down. We're just saying, hey, if we're not doing it, let's make it a part of what we do. Let's become more in communication. Let's become closer. Let's be more committed. Let's pray regularly. Let's have that conversation with God. Let's let Him have conversation with us, because part of prayer is not just talking, it's listening. Be still and know that I'm God. How many times has somebody tried to ask you what you thought about something and they never stopped long enough for you to tell them? Pray regularly. The second thing I would say to you this morning is that we need to pray confidently. Now, we're not talking about being egotistical. We're not talking about thinking that we have some special prayer power. What I'm saying to you is to take advantage of what we know to be scriptural principle and the position that God has given to us, so that when we do pray, we don't doubt. We may have patience and perseverance. We may have to wait on God's timing, but we don't give up. We persevere. Pray confidently. Let me read to you a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And then let me take you to a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think it's a great thing that God is saying, I'm leaving the door open, you're my kids, here's the room, I want you to come in, and I want you to know that I want to hear what you got to say. Come with confidence. And the deal is, we're not coming because we're special. We're not coming with confidence because of who we are or what we've done. But the great thing is, God says, I'm not worried about that part. When you approach me, you're approaching me through my son Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. So everybody has the same opportunity to approach. Jesus did one thing, one time, for who? Everybody. No favorites, no specials. There aren't people who can get into the throne room of God by the virtue of Jesus' blood and other people that can't. Anybody who accepts Christ and what he did on the cross by faith and becomes a child of God approaches with the same confidence, not on their own virtues, but on the virtues of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And so when we pray and we speak to God about issues and situations, we pray with confidence knowing that God himself has said, I want to help you, and he wouldn't have promised it if he didn't want to do it. But there is a condition that the Bible speaks to. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through this curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters. Here's the situation. You have to be in right standing or relationship with God to be able to claim those promises. People who are lost and people who have sin between them and God, they can't claim those promises. That's the condition of prayer. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says this, Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. The condition of prayer is that we be in right relationship with God. The confidence that we can have is that when we are in right relationship, when there's no unconfessed sin, when there's no bad attitude, when there's no rebellious spirit, when we indeed are in full obedience to God, we can step with confidence and know that God wants to respond to our prayers. We can claim the promises of God. And we are no more the exception to this rule than we are the exception to the fact that Jesus treats everybody the same. So there's no one who can claim the promises and be out of sync with God any more than any other person. Everyone who knows Christ has access to the throne room, and everyone who is in right relationship, in standing with God, can ask for those things. Pray confidently. We're not praying on our own merit. We're approaching by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God would never have told us that He wanted us to come with confidence if He didn't want to help us with these things. So we come in that confidence. But not only do we need to pray regularly and pray confidently, but as we think about right standing, we can know that we can pray effectively. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I prayed, but my prayer just hit the ceiling and came back? How many times have you felt that way? How many times have you been in those situations where you thought it didn't go anywhere? And there might be a variable plethora of reasons for that to take place. But you can have the assurance by promise of the Word that when your heart is in right standing and when you lift your voice up, that God hears you. Now, He may not always speak back as quickly as He has in other times. He may not always grant things in the particular methodology that He has in previous times. He's not confined to any particulars. But you can know, because the Word says so, that when you're in right standing with the Father, no matter how you feel, because the enemy would like to make you feel like you're not praying with any success. The Bible says not only should we be praying regularly, not only should we pray with confidence, but we can pray effectively. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man. We need to make sure that the avenue is clear, that everything is as it should be between home and heaven, so that we indeed can step forward in that confidence that God wants us to have, and that when we step forward with confidence and in right standing, that when we pray, we are praying effectively. Let me read to you a passage from Psalms chapter 17 and verse 1. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. And then we find in the 34th chapter, verses 15 through 17, these words, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. What a great promise. That if we're truly in love with God, we would go to him regularly to have conversation and communion. That knowing him like we do, we have confidence that he doesn't ask us to approach on our own talents and abilities, on our own virtues, but on the blood of Jesus, his son. And that his commitment to us is that when we come in right standing, that he absolutely hears our prayer, no matter how we feel or what the enemy tries to tell us or take away from us. But that we can pray effectively. Now, with that said, revival has many purposes. We talked about that at the start. That part of praying for revival is getting myself in right standing. It's renewal and refreshment. Part of revival is about growing, hearing the truth of the Word and receiving that and walking in the light that we receive as an ongoing process. Because we never reach absolute perfection here, so God is constantly able to do new things in our life, teach us new truth, and take us to a new position and level in our relationship with Him. But revival is also about evangelism. Let me ask you something. When's the last time that you prayed about somebody who didn't know Jesus? When's the last time you specifically thought of somebody who doesn't know the Lord and you got on your knees and prayed that somehow God would use you or someone else to share his love with them? Here's how I'd like to close this service this morning. I simply want to challenge us over these next 2 weeks in particular, and even through the revival service times, that we pray for revival, that we pray for God to bring refreshment and renewal to our church, that he indeed increase our fellowship, and that indeed he makes us evangelistic. We're excited about these three new souls that have come to Christ in just the last few weeks, but that makes you hungry for more, doesn't it? When you eat good food, you want seconds. We'd like to see more people come to Christ. We'd like to see more people growing in the Lord. We'd like to see more people coming into full obedience. And that's part of what revival's about. Now, I know you may not physically feel like it or be able this morning. That's okay. But I'm just going to ask us to begin to find a place maybe around the front if you'd like. You can kneel where you're at. You can remain seated. But we're going to close this morning in an attitude of prayer. And here's the deal. You might be coming to the altars to pray to get in right standing. You might realize that everything is not where it ought to be between you and God. This can be a time for that to happen. You might be praying for God to say, Lord, as far as I know, I'm where I need to be, but whatever you got for me, I just want everything you have for me. So, Lord, I just want to be open. I want to be receptive. I want to be a vessel that you can pour things into. Or it might be this morning that God has laid somebody on your heart. That would be a great thing if there's somebody you know that needs Jesus. And you'll just come this morning to intercede on their behalf. You're in right position with the Lord, and you can come here and pray effectively on their behalf and say, Lord, help me or somebody else, help some circumstance or situation to draw their attention to you. Help me to invite them to revival. Wouldn't it be great? You know, we talk about how revival is all about the church and really not as evangelistic as it used to be. What, wouldn't it be great if it got as evangelistic as it used to be? Don't you think that could happen? And so this morning, I just invite you in these last few moments to come pray about whatever you want to pray about as we pray for God to pour out His Spirit and to bring revival to our church. You're welcome to come to these altars. You're welcome to sit at the front pews. You're welcome to stay where you're at. But we're going to pause for a few moments as people gather, and you figure out what it is that you indeed are needing God to do in your life for revival to come to you first and then to use you to bring revival to others. And let's just pray and believe that God indeed wants to make a mighty move in our church and to make a difference in our lives so we can make a difference in our community, in our world. Come as you feel this morning. Pastor Don, I'm going to ask you to lead us in our prayer time, praying for God to help us, whether we're praying for the right relationship, or whether we're praying for continued fellowship, or whether indeed we're praying for the lost, whatever it might be, or all of the above, or any other things, that indeed God would bring to us His presence and move us into a spirited and attitude of revival, and that we'll see great things come to pass, and then we'll be done at the conclusion of your prayer.
Dear Father, as we come before your throne today, the first thing we want to do, Lord, is humble ourselves right here. And Father, if there is anything or there could be anything that stands between us and your throne, we pray right now, Lord, that you would remove it. In confession, we honor you, our God, our Lord, our Creator. Lord, as we look toward revival, every one of us needs revival in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, the status quo will not be what we really are seeking. For we are seeking you, and we are seeking your face, and we are seeking your outpouring on our lives, and we are seeking the Holy Spirit to give direction and help. Lord, as Pastor Gary has spoken to us this morning, there are those that need Jesus as their Savior. And you know how you have impressed that upon my heart and life the last few weeks, And Father, we would see souls saved. But we recognize, Lord, that if the church is not in praying condition, if we ourselves are not seeking your face, we cannot expect others in our altars. And so, Lord, today, our souls again cry out for removal of anything that would keep us from falling on our knees before you and seeking you with our whole heart, and Lord, opening the avenues and opening the way for you to come and touch our hearts and to touch our lives. Lord, as you look at your church and in these last few years before we believe you are going to return, seems that there's a coldness and a lack of spiritual being on fire for God, that apathy is a part of our worship, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness for any apathy that might be a part of the way we worship and the way we seek you. Oh God, just warm our hearts with a new sense of urgency in the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we pray for those that may be struggling in their spiritual lives today, don't have any answers for what's taking place, and don't seem to know exactly what to do. We pray that there would be a great breakthrough, Lord, that again there would be a place sought of prayer and a place of humbleness before you that would cry out, Lord, the depths of our soul to the depth of God, to stir us afresh and anew and to move upon us. Lord, we pray for our evangelist, and we pray for our pastor, and we pray for all of the leadership in the church, that there would be a time of seeking you with our whole hearts. Lord, we know that evangelists can't bring revival. We know that a pastor can't bring revival. We know that we in ourselves cannot do this, but Lord, we know that if we seek you, that you can bring revival and that you can turn our hearts and cause us to be what we need to be before the throne of God. We aren't asking for a lot of money. We aren't asking for a lot of things of this life. But Lord, we need and want you. The greatest need in revival is God himself. And so our greatest need today is not more things or more tithes and offerings. Our need today is God himself. And so we pray for your special outpouring upon our hearts. We thank you for those that are going to be coming. We thank you for those who are going to be faithful during the time of revival. And Lord, we know that you're going to be faithful. And so for you to come, Lord, that the windows of heaven would be open and the blessings would be outpoured. And that we would be renewed, refreshed in the things of God. We ask this for the whole church. We aren't asking this just for others, Lord. We're asking for it ourselves. Help us to glorify you with our worship, with our attendance, our faithfulness. And Lord, we know without you we cannot be what we should be. Pray for restoration, renewing, fresh touch of God himself. Come like you did in the upper room. May tongues of fire set upon each one. May the Holy Spirit himself bathe everything that's done in revival. May the church be fired up to go, to seek, and to reach the lost. May we not be satisfied with what we have been doing, but may we seek God with our whole hearts. Bless every person that attends this church. Bless the new souls that have been won. Bless those who are faithful in carrying out your work. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and soon coming King.